we got a lot going on, so I'm going to try to be brief, although I'm really excited about this sermon because it's the start of a new sermon series. Surprise, surprise, I'm not going to be preaching out of the lectionary for the next several weeks, but I'm starting a series that I'm titling Thriving. And the idea is I want to teach about the basics of the spiritual disciplines and discipleship, but I didn't think that titling it that was all that appealing. But the goal is that as we practice spiritual disciplines and as we draw closer to God, truly the result would be thriving. Our lives would thrive from the inside out. And that's my hope, that's my prayer as I begin this series and start preaching about it. But we're going to be talking a lot about prayer and study God's Word and just how to do these things. Because I think for a lot of us, it seems overwhelming, maybe a little intimidating, the whole theme of prayer and intercessory prayer and the different aspects of prayer and studying God's Word. And I've had people say to me, I tried to read the Bible and I just didn't understand it. And so I want to address that in this sermon series, but with the goal that it all makes sense, it's all simple, straightforward, but that as we start to get into practicing some of these habits and spiritual disciplines, truly, truly, our lives would thrive. So that's my hope. That's my prayer. Let me start this sermon, too, with prayer. So if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach your word. What a privilege, and yet what a responsibility, too. And yet, I hand the whole responsibility over to you. Lord God, I just pray that it would be you doing the work, and whatever words come out, that, Lord, it's you doing the work in people's hearts and spirits to be able to receive the word and then to put it into practice in such a way that truly, truly, it becomes just grace-filled living, Lord God. So, Lord, take over, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as is my practice, got the sermon notes in your bulletins, and if you want to turn there, you can follow along. And a little bit more of an intro, I guess. I would ask the question, so if you could develop a strong, robust faith and a deep connection with God, would that be a good thing? Wait, don't answer too quickly. You know, because, I mean, think about it. If you're going to develop a deep, rich faith and a strong connection with God, what might you have to give up? I mean, you know, when it comes to, you know, holy living, what kind of practices might I have to start to kind of back off on? You know, when I was a young kid, I grew up in the church, you know, from the time, in fact, I was baptized as an infant in my parents' church, and from that time on, Sunday school, church, and all that. But I remember distinctly a time in my youth, I think it was maybe middle school, probably high school, I think it was, and I just kind of determined, you know what, I know I'm not living for God, and I know what that would take, but I know what I'd have to give up in them. I really don't want to do that. And so I made a conscious decision that I would just, I mean, my parents are going to continue to make me go to church, but I'm not going to youth group. And because, you know, I don't want to fake it. I at least want to have that, some integrity. But, I was consciously choosing to kind of just back off a little bit from God. All I can tell you is the result of that after a few years was just an emptiness, a deep emptiness inside of me. And really, an emptiness that led me to a state of, I'd call it despair, that led me to one night on my bed just feeling profoundly lost, opening up my old confirmation Bible, which was very odd because I was an ADD kid, and so reading was not something I liked to do, but I just opened up the Bible. To this day, I don't know where I started reading. All I know is God did something amazing, and as I'm reading, that emptiness was all of a sudden being filled, and he was like saturating me with his grace. And what I was expecting was rebuke and condemnation. Son, why haven't you been? And it was none of that. It was just God's love and his peace flooding into my heart. It was amazing. I was transfixed in like 45 minutes that night. I was reading and reading and reading. And I went to bed that night with peace. So the next day I thought, was that just a fluke? I opened up my Bible again, started reading again. Same thing happened. I started making that a nightly habit. And after about a month of just soaking in God's grace, reading his word, and it was odd. There wasn't any youth pastor guiding me and explaining to me, well, this is what the Bible means in this passage. God was just gifting me with understanding, but after about a month, I knew what it was all about and what God was asking of me. I knew he was saying, I want you to give me your life. I was afraid, and I was like, what is that going to mean? What's he going to do, turn me into a pastor or something weird like that? Even weirder, he turned me into a missionary first. But all I knew is I could not say no to him. The love that he had been showing me and giving to me and pouring in me, there was no way I was going to say no to that, and no to that God of love. So with a lot of fear and trepidation, I got down on my knees right at my bed and just gave him my life. That was over 25 years ago, and I can say to you, there has not been one moment in my life where I've ever regretted that. It's been quite an adventure, and it's had its ups and its downs, and sometimes it seems more like a carnival ride, but I've never regretted it, and all I can say is that grace and that love inside of me is so worth it, and I would never want to go back to that time of just emptiness and despair, because that's where the path of sin leads us. So point two in my sermon, there's three primary spiritual paths. I don't know, some philosopher theologian could say, oh, there's more like five or six. I'm just telling you. Simple mind might like mine. I keep things simple. Three paths. One is you can just choose to just go and walk on in sin. In my youth, that's what I chose to do. But like I said, here's what I found. All it ended with was a sense of deep emptiness. And you know, you can't get friendly with sin without getting friendly with the forces of God's enemies. Really. And, you know, it's not like you're going to get chums with these demonic forces and they're just, take you in like a socio, that's Spanish for an associate. Yeah, let's have fun together. No, their purpose is to destroy you. And that's where sin leads us. It literally leads us to just destruction. So there is that option and that spiritual pathway. There is another pathway that is one of just works righteousness and a religious pathway that's religiosity, and it's all about the externals. It's all about the kind of the rules and the regulations and do this and don't do that, and you know, gotta put on a good image and a reverent image. Well, Jesus took issue with that when he saw it in the Pharisees, right? And so what was his words to the Pharisees? You're like whitewashed tombs. Look real pretty on the outside. Deadness, decay, bones on the inside. And I'm not buying it, Jesus said. You know, spoke it right to them. Really ticked them off. I mean, it was, anyway, one of the things that led to him getting crucified by them. But that's the kind of religious pathway. And still in Christianity today, you can see that. You can see people taking a pathway where it's just about the externals, but it's not about a reality of the living God inside. That's the third pathway. It's the pathway of grace. It's about God inside of me. It's about literally just me surrendering my life to him and just saying, Lord, as pathetic as this life is, whatever you can do with it, I'm yours. I just resign myself and give myself over to you. And the cool thing is, as Dallas Willard would say, if you give your life over to God and God gets inside of you, don't you think God's going to do some pretty amazing things inside you and through you and with you? Yeah. And life becomes an amazing adventure walking with God. So, I love this verse out of 2 Timothy 2:1. So, point three starts with this. And it's the key verse I put up at the top of the sermon notes. You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I love that. It's not, you know, now son, a child, I want you to be strong in the disciplines, and I want you to be strong in law, and, you know, doing things right. Be strong in grace. This is all about grace. What does that mean to be strong in grace? Now, I listed out four principal things. Being strong in spirit, first of all. And I love that. It's God and His Spirit inside of me establishing in me such a strong spirit, I would call it an indomitable spirit. So that when life and the heaviness and, you know, life can crush us. Anybody? I got an amen from anybody on that one? Life can crush us. But if on the inside you have God's Spirit and your spirit is an indomitable spirit. I mean, literally all hell can break loose and it can be this crushing load and yet you stay strong inside. So it's strong in spirit. It's also strong in mind. I was thinking of that movie as I was looking at this verse that goes with it. This verse, and you see it on the sermon notes, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Remember that movie, A Beautiful Mind? Some of you might have seen it. You know, and all right, don't go there now. I'm going to get you sidetracked. You'll be thinking about the movie. But what does a beautiful mind look like? Is a beautiful mind a mind that is governed by sin? Is a beautiful mind a mind that is governed by lust and perversion? Is a beautiful mind a mind that is governed by hatred and malice? Is a beautiful mind a mind that is governed by greed, pride, arrogance? Heavens no. Is a beautiful mind a mind that is governed by the Spirit of God? A mind that is governed by love? A mind that is governed by peace? A mind that is governed by joy? Yeah. So when it's God inside and He's got literally control of my mind, the way Paul puts it is to have the mind of Christ. It is this strong mind that is governed by God. And the result being it's a beautiful mind. And then strong in heart. The verse says, my flesh and my heart may fail in a physical sense, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And you notice how in those first three cases, strong in spirit, strong in mind, strong in heart, as you read those Bible verses that I have with those, it's all about God inside of me. Again, it's not about the externals. It's not about me working. It's about God taking over. And when He takes over, it becomes a beautiful life, a life that thrives. And that's what we're after. And the last point I would make is it's about strength of character. And what do I mean by character? Somebody who has a strong character, somebody who has integrity, humility as opposed to pride and arrogance, humility, godliness, perseverance. A person with strong character has kindness and generosity inside. They're filled with faith and hope and love. They're a person of wisdom and a person of self-restraint. Somebody who has a strong character, has these aspects, and that's what we're going for. If you have this strong character, not only will your life thrive, but the influence you will have in others, in your marriage, with your children, the influence you will have with others, friends, family, work, it will be one of beauty, of strength, of grace. This is the goal. This is when we're thriving. Point four, I just wanted to talk briefly about grace and work versus grace and works. Little wordplay there. And so Dallas Willard, though, says, grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. So In other words, grace is not opposed to work. I mean, again, if God is inside of you, don't you think he's going to do some wonderful things and you'll work? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are God's craftsmanship, his wonderful creation. For you are God's craftsmanship, crafted in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for you to do." In other words, this is his life plan for you, is to do these wonderful works. Him inside of you, though, doing the work. So it's this juxtaposition of me resigning myself to God, surrendering, resting in God, and yet working. But it's, as Paul said, it wasn't, he's like, I worked harder than all of them, but it wasn't me. It was God. It was God's grace inside of me. So it's God's grace fueling me just to do these works. I can't help but do them. And actually, I love it. I love it. It's not a drudgery for me. It's not a drudgery for me to... this is not a drudgery for me to get up and preach and to teach and to counsel and to... It's a joy. And I don't know what kind of works God has for you and has planned for you. But it will be a joy. And if you get into God and he gets into you, your life will thrive. And you'll do these wonderful things where it's not works. Grace is not about works. It's not about works righteousness. I will do all these things to earn passage into heaven. Heavens, no. No. It's not about earning. It's about, yeah, some effort. But it's God doing the work in and through me. All right. Finally, the litmus test. Show me the fruit. Remember that? What was that movie? Show me the money. Yeah. Well, show me the fruit. And Jesus said, you know, you'll know a person's character and whether they got God inside or not by the fruit. I mean, do you come over to this tree, pull off an apple? I was saying this to the confirmation class today. Do you pull off an apple from this tree and then go, well, it's an orange tree? Well, that's what the sign says right here. It says it's an orange tree. That's an apple in your hand. Yeah, but the sign says it's an orange tree. Sorry, but the fruit says it's an apple tree. Well, likewise, somebody might say, I'm a Christian. Seminary trained. I got my Master's of Divinity. And, kids, stop doing that. Ah, where's the fruit there? No, the evidence of God inside of me is the Spirit inside of me producing the fruit of the Spirit. And that comes right out of Galatians 5. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the evidence of God inside. What about that patience thing? Yeah, trust me. And I told the class, I'm still working on that one. Especially when it comes to when I'm driving and somebody cuts me off and all that kind of stuff. It's fruit that matures and grows. And I'm praying, God, please keep that growing. You know, but the love, the joy, the peace, all that, it keeps growing. And it should be growing. And if it's not growing, what's wrong? And we got to be honest and ask ourselves, what's wrong here? My connection with God, just there's something about it. It isn't strong, maybe. So that's one of the questions I have for you. And I want to take, I want you to take that seriously. In your bulletin, in your sermon notes, first question, which path have you been walking on? Be honest. I mean, have you been walking on the path that is sin, that is death? Consciously kind of just fending God off, blowing him off? Or have you been walking on the path that is works? All about the exterior, but on the inside, you kind of sense there's something disjointed. Or have you been walking on that path of grace? And it's flourishing. The Spirit is flourishing in your heart, and the fruit is growing and maturing. Next question, what steps can you take to help you to grow stronger in God's grace? One thing I want you to consider, I would love this sermon series to be very interactive. So here's my invitation. email me. I mean, on the back of the bulletin, if you don't know my email address and have it already, right there at the very bottom, second line from the bottom, my email address. Email me. I would love that. I would love to have a dialogue, a running dialogue, with any and all of you that would want to. Just email me, and let's, I mean, Pastor, you mentioned in the sermon, and here's my question. And you know, as I was thinking about it and praying about it, what do you think? I'd love that. I would love it to be more interactive. That's probably my only frustration about preaching is there's no dialogue. Things I know would get out of hand, and the time would go too far. I would love to have that dialogue through email. So please, email me. So if that's one step that you would like to take to help you grow stronger in God's grace, I'm all yours. All right. Last question. Are you satisfied with the level of fruitfulness evidenced in your life? Is the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control abounding? Or is it not? So at the end of the day, are you thriving? Are you just filled up and soaked up with God's grace? Let that be our goal. It's my challenge to you to grow in grace, and let it be grace and nothing else that has anything to do with self-righteousness or works or anything. Let it be grace. Let's just be soaked up with God's grace. So as we continue in this series, let's see what can happen. And I just pray that our lives would thrive. Amen.